Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
And it's so sad. I really don't know what to do, what else to give my writers to create work for them and be able to pay them. But there's just nothing I could do. And so I'm just one tiny person. And I can just imagine the larger, bigger companies, what they're going through. What's your thought on all this?
Got a couple of sides to that coin. So first of all, you got to get ChatGPT to work.
Right.
Sometimes they're down. But from a recruiting standpoint, there's been some concerns about the legality of using AI. And we've dug into this quite a bit, talked to some attorneys about it. And essentially, the key is not using it exclusively. So you want to marry it to some other things. That would be number one. Which we do at Remotely Me. We use ChatGPT in some aspects. We use our own cognitive AI, but we also look at Occupational Network, ONET data, SHRM data, Society of Human Resources Management, et cetera, et cetera. So you don't just have the one area, and that can help eliminate the bias that you would have. From a copy perspective, what we found works the best is it's bad in, bad out, great in, great out. With generative AI in general, whether it's ChatGPT, Claude, whatever you're using. And so what we do is we have an app that extracts information out of LinkedIn, and we do it properly, but it determines a profile, not a personality so much, but more how is this person wired? What are their soft skills, balances, and their teaching or learning style, because selling is all about teaching. This is what we learned from the Challenger sale. But most importantly, what are their communication preferences? We can now know what's going to appeal to them the most, the right words, phrases, tone, even colors, etc. And we can take that information along with some of the ChatGPT information, which has a lot of their personal information in it, and we can properly instruct ChatGPT, which is really powerful from a marketing perspective. Think about how this is going to revolutionize sales and marketing. Yeah. So in what I've been involved with our clients in many cases is using a platform that requires you to have hundreds of templates that the salespeople have to select from for this persona, that persona, et cetera, et cetera. That eliminates all that. Same is true for recruiting. We have one of our board advisors, they had 1,000 different templates they were using. This can eliminate all that because this will automatically allow you to select the cadence. I'm introducing myself, or it's a follow-up or whatever it is. It's for this. We actually determine the persona, decision maker, et cetera, and then who am I talking to? Really, this is my book, start with you. Who am I talking to? And then construct ChatGPT. You just copy and paste the prompt right into the window. And it creates this copy for you that's now very, very personalized to that specific person. It talks about their background, their accomplishments, their interests. Okay. And it talks in their, it can do it in their native language even. But it's like men from Mars, women from Venus on massive steroids, because you're speaking directly to that part of the brain that they'll resonate with. It's really powerful.
That's incredible. I want to talk a little bit about the app you mentioned that you guys have. Can we just dive a little bit into software development, just high level? I'm very curious about this topic, and I know that I have a lot of listeners who constantly ask me about this and ask me to bring on guests who can give them some advice in terms of, you know, if they have an idea and they want to develop some kind of an app or a software, where do they even begin? Is there any advice you can give to the aspiring entrepreneurs who have a great idea but really don't know how to begin?
You've got to begin with what we call voice of the customer. That is the most critical first step. So what we did, and what I also worked with clients to do, and do this from one of the consulting things that we really help clients to understand is you've got to get that input from customers. So we leverage a now very extensive LinkedIn outreach. We've got several groups that we manage, leaders forum, tech execs, et cetera, et cetera. And through that network, we can connect in with these really phenomenal senior executives who will get on calls with us. Sometimes they'll do it for free. Sometimes we give them a small gift card or something that they give to their kids, just a token of appreciation. And they'll spend a half hour, 45 minutes with us and give us some tremendous input. Where are the problems? What are you looking at? What solutions do you have today? What's working? What's not working? What would be valuable to you, et cetera. From that, we've invited several to be board advisors currently. So for example, with Remotely Me, some of our board advisors were CXOs from Southwest Airlines, Royal Caribbean, Udemy, ADT, Walmart, Better Homes and Gardens, and so on. Really phenomenal. That's critical. Figure out what they want and then go build what they want. Then once you've got something, prototype, get them back on, show them what you've got, and ask them to please beat you up. Tell me where it's wrong. That you really want to hear where you're, we call it, we never want to hear that our baby is ugly. Well, we definitely want to know if our baby is ugly in any way, because then we can fix it and make it better and make it what the customer really wants.
And the reality is you are going to save tons of money by doing this. That's the reality. You're going to learn it the easier way versus you launch something. You assume you're solving a problem, but if you're not talking to your potential client to customers to understand what their pain points are, to make sure that you're really solving that pain point, then it defeats the purpose. Thank you. That's great advice. I can't wait to dive into your book, Start With Who. Because I'm all about the why and the who and all that's, I just, for me, anything with the who and the why is all that matters. Anytime, whether it's my kids or my clients, they want to do something, I'm like, who are you doing it for and why are you doing it for? And so let's talk about your book a little.
You bet. So I want to first shout out to the two gentlemen who were gracious enough to write the foreword to the book, Mike Payton and Mark O'Donnell. They are what's called visionaries, essentially leaders for an organization called the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And this spurred from another book written by Gina Wickman years ago called Traction. If you are a startup or a small business, small to medium business in any way, strongly encourage you to look into this Entrepreneurial Operating System. It's essentially a framework that gives you the processes, and it also gives you the right path, if you will, to ensure that you have success. Who should be in the right seats for these right positions? Who should be our right prospects for the right solutions? How do we properly manage things like our business meetings, et cetera? And what are our core values? All of these things are so critical to your success. Are we bringing people into the organization to get it, want it, and have the capacity to do it? Those kinds of things will answer for you. But in my interviews with literally hundreds of people, they're called implementers. They're like coaches for this, as well as organizations using it. I discovered that it's a phenomenal framework, but it is missing a lot of the ingredients for next steps and so on. It's not an end-all be-all, as wonderful as it is. And so the book really touches upon how do we use the latest neuroscience, the storytelling. Additionally, believe it or not, there was a guy who lived a couple thousand years ago, wore fancy bed sheets and threw wild toga parties. His name was Aristotle, and he invented the persuasion model.
Yes.
So I bring all of that together in terms of how do we properly message, get the right people in the right seats, get the right prospects for the right solutions. That's essentially what the book is about. How do we use this neuroscience-based storytelling in order to do that so that we can build the organizations we want? Yes, it's primarily oriented toward the small and medium businesses, but a lot of large organization executives, for example, one of the vice presidents at Workday says that it is the next generation beyond Start With Why and the Challenger Sale. So nothing against either of those books. They were wonderful and groundbreaking at the time, but they're both about a dozen years old. And again, we only learned about the latest neuroscience breakthroughs over the past decade. So we have to start taking that into consideration. And even when companies are fighting it, we're mostly hybrid now, right? You can fight it all you want, but we're a hybrid society. You just have to deal with that. So how do you deal with that? Not only with your employees, but with your customers.
That's a great point. Speaking of hybrid society, what's your thought on some of the government programs not being so hybrid and being so behind and implementing that we need to be some of the programs that they're offering, like training programs and job training and programs for veterans, you know, that if they want to get trained in a specific trade or so on. I know this is off topic, but I'm really curious, you know, what your thoughts are in terms of, you know, because I think the tech industry and people who are entrepreneurs are able to move and shake things, but the government sector generally serves the largest population. But when it comes to being hybrid, they are not understanding the importance yet.
You are correct. Many of them are not yet. There are some that are at least starting to explore that possibility and also explore embracing some of the new technologies like AI, et cetera. And so it's really a matter of, can we get our infrastructure to where we can support more hybrid, where we can have better collaboration, et cetera. And this is where some of these new technologies, certainly from a lot of organizations, some of the things we do with remotely meeting with learning and development, because learning and development is broken as well. Assessments are broken. They have been for a long time. As I mentioned, they're 50, 80 years old. Learning and development is also broken. And that's a key to being able to support hybrid. Because today, and by the way, one of our board advisors came from Udemy, so she even says this is the case, that quite often organizations, about 70%, don't have a formal plan. They just kind of throw you at these courses. Now, if I want to improve my soft skills, I can go up to Udemy and I can type in soft skills. I get 1,006 courses I can take. Mm-hmm. Which one do I take? So what we do with our platform, you take the assessment, takes 9 minutes. You then know where's your 8 soft skill scores are. And maybe one's 72%, another one's 76%. You like to get those up. We show you exactly which courses we have some on our platform, but we can point you to Udemy or LinkedIn Learning and say, here are the 3 or 4 courses you should take there to get your soft skills up. And one of those soft skills could be, how do I better collaborate and engage remotely? How do I get my remote work skills to the point where I can be trusted? And now we're back to the word trust, aren't we? That's the biggest reason why hybrid's not working. It's called trust. Employers don't trust that their employees are working. They think they're off taking care of kids and shopping.
Right.
So it's a trust factor. And the employees are saying, well, wait a minute, you don't trust me.
Yeah.
So how can I trust you? And that's why Gallup showed that we've got this 80% trust factor. This is a serious problem. We've got to get trust back up. So what I encourage business leaders to do is to stop mistrusting. Trust that your employees are going to do what they said they're going to do, and put into place ways to measure that. Put into place ways that can do that without having a camera on them and things that say you're in jail and you're not trusted. Find a way to do it in a trust way. But more importantly, how do you ensure you're hiring high trust people, and we actually have a way for you to certify them as high trust professionals? Wow. So you can trust them to do the remote work. That's how you solve the problem.
It's incredible. Thank you for that advice. And it's so interesting. When I joined the tech industry about, I want to say 15 years ago, the trust factor was the main factor. Like every tech startup gave you the ability to work from home. They never micromanaged you. They, you know, at least most that we worked with. And so I think that's what attracted me as a mother of two at the time, where I really wanted to join a company that trusted me, that I would do the job, get it done, but I might get it done at 2 a.m. instead of, you know, working at a scheduled time, as long as I'm meeting the deadlines that we have in place. And so I think that's a great point. And I just love the fact that the tech industry kind of caught on to this so quickly. But sadly, you know, the government entities and more traditional companies are too slow to move forward. And I think the pandemic helped speed up the process a little bit, just a tiny bit, but they went back again. Some of them just went back to, oh, you have to come to work 3 times a week at least, and so on. And I know that a few of my colleagues quit their jobs because they just couldn't handle that anymore.
So very true. And I think that's what we're seeing with a lot of these different organizations. And one of the clients that we work with that's really helping to solve this problem is CoLab Youth. They're in Los Angeles County, and they work with underserved youth teens, and they have mentorship programs. So their sponsors are organizations like Wells Fargo, T-Mobile, Target, Alaska Airlines, and so forth. And they take a customized version, we call it CoLab Quiz, of our CQ assessment. And it's astounding to see the feedback from these young adults where they're saying, I never really knew what my strengths were and my attributes and where I really would fit in the best and where I feel like my passion and purpose can be served. Where is it best for me to go? Maybe it's to college, and we've helped some of them get accepted into Berkeley or whatever, but it might not be. It might be an internship or an apprenticeship, something of that nature first, and then maybe college later. You know, we've certainly done that. I did my Navy tour before I used my GI Bill to finish up my degree. It's perfectly fine to do that and still have a good career. And these mentors from these organizations just rave about the fact that they get playbooks once these assessments are done that can help them better guide these youth and communicate with them and guide them toward the right career path. Now, it's really fulfilling for me personally to see that happen with these youth.
Now I have a question, and we can talk about this offline another time, but the quiz that you mentioned that the CoLab Youth uses, is that something that is available for other youth training programs as well, or is it specifically made for them?
This one is custom for CoLab. However, we have done one specifically for our veteran outreach program. So we have a sister organization. I'm also co-founder of the Us for Warriors Foundation. That's the US number 4 warriors.org. Been around about 11 years and have won a number of awards, congressionally recognized. And we can reach about 5 million total veterans and their relatives. So we open the door for our clients who want to hire more veterans. We've created a customized version of this for them. We call it Valor Vines, and we also created a customized version of the learning and development platform. But we're in discussions with others about how to create custom versions for them, whether it's for a commercial organization or a nonprofit. I'm talking to some nonprofits about it as well. So easily done to create the customized version using this visual neuroscience approach.
Amazing. Bill, I still have so many questions, but our time is coming to an end. Where can our listeners get a hold of you or learn more about you, contact you if they're interested?
You bet. So on the business side, remotelyme.com, that's remote, L-Y-M-E.com, remotelyme.com, go there. For my writing side, the books, it's W. Craig Reed, so W-C-R-A-I-G-R-E-E-D.com, WCraigReed.com, and you'll see all the books and information and links to Amazon or wherever for those books.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time and God, for sharing all this valuable information. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Been great.
Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Maria on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.